FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. And in the first segment this morning, we have a special segment that is dedicated to your health. And of course, the meningitis issue is very much in the news. Dr. Andy Brown is with us this morning from Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Thank you for inviting me this morning.
Good to have you with us today. There has been a lot of concern and a lot of fear dealing with this meningitis issue. I think we've had perhaps around six people in Tennessee die from this issue now.
Well, this is a very unfortunate situation. The families involved, certainly the families who have had a death, it's very tragic. I hope that this morning we can answer some of the questions about this situation, because it does affect a very specific population, and if you're not involved in that population, then you have no reason to be alarmed.
How unusual is it to have one of these? Is it a steroid shot?
Steroid shots are given for a wide variety of reasons. This particular steroid is a steroid called methylprednisolone, and it is used sometimes as an injection into the lining close to the spinal cord to relieve chronic back pain.
How many people over this period of time would have had such a shot in Murfreesboro?
Well, in Murfreesboro, I can't give you an exact number of the people who might have had an injection like this, but the methylprednisolone, the medication that we're talking about, was only received in three pain clinics in Tennessee. The St. Thomas Outpatient Neurosurgery Center, a pain clinic in Crossville, and a pain clinic in Oak Ridge. So unless you had a pain injection at one of those three facilities, you have nothing to worry about. If you had a steroid injection here in Murfreesboro, even the individuals who had steroid injections at St. Thomas Hospital are not affected by the contaminated medication.
Now, I understand that the problem also goes back to the fact that this is a compounded medical treatment, a compounding issue, and the firm in Boston, I believe, was supposed to only compound medications for one patient, and word is that this was done for a large order.
There were actually 17,000 doses of this particular medication shipped to either 75 or 76 clinics, depending on which website you look at, in 23 states across the country. So obviously the medication was shipped to more than one situation. But the medication itself is now a generic medication, and that's why there are some companies who produce this medication at the lower cost.
Obviously, this slipped through. I mean, this was not intentional by any stretch of the imagination. What can be done to assure that this is not repeated?
Well, let's just take a step back and talk about meningitis first, and then talk about the steps that we can do to try to prevent a situation like this in the future. There are several different forms of meningitis. There's bacterial meningitis, and we recently had a student here in Murfreesboro who died of a particular type of meningitis called meningococcal. And bacterial meningitis can be a very serious infection leading to very serious side effects, including death. Viral meningitis is a more common cause of meningitis. There's a wide variety of viruses that can cause an infection in the spinal cord and the fluid surrounding the brain. It's less serious and less likely to be a cause of death, but still can be a significant illness. And then the particular type of meningitis that's involved in this situation is caused by a mold or fungus, and that's a very uncommon, almost unheard of type of infection. And that's why when they started showing this as the causative agent for the meningitis, the Center for Disease Control, the Tennessee Health Department, became involved immediately because there was really a suspicion that this was a very unusual situation and they needed to trace the source of the particular agent. The mold that causes this is called Aspergillus, which actually is a mold that is probably in all of our homes right now. If you've tried to make a sandwich or make a piece of toast and you suddenly realized that you had mold on your bread and you threw the loaf of bread away, in all likelihood that was Aspergillus that was causing that mold on your bread.
You mentioned that there were only three clinics in Tennessee, only three in the entire state, that used this particular infected injection.
Yes.
What period of time does it take for a person to show signs of this meningitis?
Well, the reports that we've had from the CDC indicate that symptoms are likely to show up anywhere from a week to 4 weeks after the steroid injection. And they're concerned about patients who might have had the injection between the 27th of June and September 20th locally. That's the time frame where they feel that the contaminated doses might have been administered at the St. Thomas Outpatient Neurosurgery Center.
Okay, and again, Dr. Brown underlines that there are only three locations in Tennessee. What are those three again?
The St. Thomas Outpatient Neurosurgery Center in Nashville, the Spinal Surgery Center in Crossville, and the PCA Pain Center in Oak Ridge. Those are the only three facilities in Tennessee that receive the medication. If you've listened to the news a lot, you've understood that the New England Compounding Center produced other medications, and it's ceased its operation. It stopped sending out any medications of any type. And I want the residents of Murfreesboro and Rutherford County to know that Middle Tennessee Medical Center has not received any medication of any type from this particular compounding center. So if other medications we later learn have been contaminated, there's still no cause for concern of the patients that have been treated at MTMC.
So if you did receive a treatment from one of these three centers in Tennessee, should you expect them to contact you, or should you contact them? Do people fall through the cracks, so to speak?
Yes, the center should be contacting all the individuals involved in this. But if you have questions, especially about the St. Thomas Outpatient Center, I can give you a telephone number that those individuals can call to ask questions. And I'd also be happy to go over the symptoms that you would be concerned about if you have received one of these steroid injections.
Sure. And what is the St. Thomas Outpatient number again?
It's area code 615-341-3425. And that number is for individuals who received a steroid injection in Nashville and feel that they might be having symptoms or have questions.
Okay, and once again, if you received one in Murfreesboro, you are not to worry. I mean,
that is correct.
You're not part of it. Only three locations in Tennessee. Let's look at those symptoms. What are the symptoms?
Well, the symptoms can vary greatly, but typically any infection around the spinal cord or brain has symptoms of a headache. You could also experience fever. You could experience nausea. As the symptoms increase, you could feel unsteady. You could have slurred speech, weakness, sensitivity to light, difficulty walking. And then the symptom that most people think about with meningitis is the stiff neck, where it hurts when you move your neck, and therefore you tend to turn your whole body in unison rather than turning your neck alone.
As of this time, the CDC has identified 119 cases, six of those in Tennessee, two in Michigan, one in Maryland, one in New Jersey, and one in Virginia. Would that lead you to think that more of the medication came to Tennessee than other states?
Well, we do know that there were several hundred doses that were received at St. Thomas. But still, with 17,000 doses delivered across those 23 states, there are going to be a lot of doses that show up in other states. I really think the key is because St. Thomas was very vigilant, and when they realized that they had an individual who had a very rare form of meningitis, they started checking immediately with their infection control physician, working with the CDC, working with the Tennessee Health Department. They were able to become sort of the index case and alert the rest of the state and the rest of the country to this potential problem.
But the main news that we're wanting to get out this morning, if you had your steroid shots here in Murfreesboro and not at one of those three other locations, you don't have anything to worry about.
That is correct. Yes. Okay. The problem seems to be related only to the contaminated medications from this particular New England compounding center based in Massachusetts.
And once again, before we wrap up this segment of the show, if you would share with us once again those three locations.
Okay, the three locations in Tennessee that received the epidural steroid injection medicine were the St. Thomas Outpatient Neurosurgical Center, the Specialty Surgery Center in Crossville, and the PCA Pain Center in Oak Ridge.
And if you did not have your steroid shots at those locations, if you had it in Murfreesboro or anywhere else, you don't have to worry. You're not on the list.
That is correct.
Very good. That was the main thing that we wanted to get out. There's so much concern. There's so much fear, the fear of the unknown. And Dr. Andy Brown is here to sort of help us down that path so we don't have to worry about that.
Well, I want to thank you, Bart. Thank WGNS for the service that you do to Murfreesboro and to Rutherford County. It is really important that you are able to disseminate information such as this. And the city and the county owe you and WGNS a big vote of confidence and a big thank you.
Dr. Andy Brown, visiting with us, thank you very much. Dr. Brown is the Vice President of Medical Affairs at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Bart.
Stay with us. Much more to come. We'll be looking at the city of Murfreesboro in just a moment.
Ford of Murfreesboro has just been named the number one Shelby Cobra dealership in the United States. Test drive the Shelby Cobra that has the all-new supercharged 5.8-liter V8. Ford of Murfreesboro was also named the number three dealer in the U.S. for selling the Mustang Roush. Come test drive and take home a new 540-horsepower Stage 3 Mustang from Roush today. Ford of Murfreesboro, your Roush and Cobra headquarters. On Broad at Northfield Boulevard and online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning once again. Still quite a bit of congestion in Murfreesboro. I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. Lots of congestion. 04 Parkway at Bridge Avenue, 04 Parkway at Chapman Place, 04 Parkway at Kaysen Lane. Also, we've got, as you make your way from Murfreesboro into downtown Nashville, a bit of slowdown. I-24 at Bell Road, I-24 at the junction with 440 and I-40 West. Get a 20% off all paints, 10% off all floor finishing at Bradford Harbor Floors, 1999 Nolansville Pike. Call Jerry Bobby Bradford at 251-5384. Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. Hey, what about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
Mainly cloudy skies for the forecast area, then gradually becoming sunny. A high in the upper 60s. We'll have a northwest wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Belliver.
Currently 57.
This is Linda Hembry at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We love to get to know all of our customers, not just by their faces, but also by their names. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM, overnight, every night, on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
We're going to focus now on the city of Murfreesboro, so if you have any questions or comments about Murfreesboro, this is your opportunity. Visiting with us, our Vice Mayor, Ron Washington. Ron, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Bart.
Good to have you with us on this beautiful day.
Thank you for having us.
Nice outside, and everybody's feeling much better now that we don't have to worry about having the meningitis issue locally. You hate to see it anywhere else, but at least we know. If you had your steroid shots at Middle Tennessee Medical Center, no problem.
Yes, I heard that. Dr. Brown did a wonderful job this morning. I learned a lot from that conversation.
And everybody is very concerned about that. I found that this is not a real unusual shot to have. And there were hundreds and hundreds given over the period of time here in Murfreesboro. So no problem at all. You don't have to worry about that. They were only at three locations in Tennessee. Murfreesboro was not one of those.
That's right.
Well, what are the big issues that are facing the city of Murfreesboro right now? Here it is, the 10th of October. We're in the fall. It feels like fall. Looks like fall outside. Well, what are some of the issues that are on your plate today?
Well, you know, relatively... we just got through going over our CIP, capital improvement plan, and finalizing trying to get a very, very unusually low interest loan locked in on that rate so we can pursue some projects that are facing the city for the next few years. Anyway, our CIP plan goes through 2016. It's quite a significant amount of money, but the city's managed well, and we've always been managed well, and people got to realize we're paying off debt as we're gaining debt also. So we try to do it in a responsible manner, and here comes Mr. Young. Welcome, Mr. Douglas B. Young.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. Good morning.
City Councilman Young, also here with us. Now, Ron, just a moment ago, Truman is in here wreaking havoc. It sounds like. You mentioned a moment ago about the unusually low interest rates. I mean, the interest rates are low for everybody right now. But when we look at the city, how low are those interest rates?
Well, Douglas, help me out here.
All right. The large indebtedure is going to be 2.17%.
That's almost like giving it.
It is even better. Then there's another set of money set aside for rolling equipment. What that means is it's not on a 15-year term. It'll pay out earlier because we're buying police cars, fire engines, things that will wear out over sooner than later. Well, we're borrowing it on a short-term basis at 1%.
Right.
So it's when you have to catch up, when you have to do things that cities have to do, build roads, furnish police cars, all the things, sewers, all the things, maintenance on all the things that we have to do, you want to do it at a time with low interest rates, and we're really at a great opportunity now to do that.
Now, how about the Rover buses? Are they at a point where they need to be replaced at this point?
I think that's in the whole budget package, Bart. I think they're replacing the buses, in the budget. And it will be, I think they're even adding a bus or two.
That's
and
right.
I think they're upgrading the buses.
There'll be a change in the seats, the number of seats. Yeah.
That's been such a good success story for the city, and I glanced at the paper this morning. I still read the paper, not online, but actually read it. And one of the articles was about Rovers expanding to the west side of town. So not only are we providing a good service for the citizens, but we're upgrading that service for the citizens.
So a new route coming in.
A new route coming in. And we also are constantly tweaking the routes here in town.
Right.
Our transportation director, Dana Richardson, gave us a report, 2 weeks ago?
Right.
About some revised routes in town. So he's listening to the citizens, looking at the routes, looking at the times, the interchange times, so we can get people moving in a timely manner, a quickly manner. And we've tweaked some routes on the downtown area, and then we're going to expand to the western side, the other side of the interstate.
Okay. Well, that's big news. I mean, that really is big. And when will that expansion take place?
I don't know, Bart.
I'm shouldn't not have sure. asked that question.
Well, you know, I think you're going to have to get the buses on board and then double-check your routes.
Okay. And I guess really that once you get those started, you're going to tweak those too,
mm-hmm.
because you really don't know where the majority of the people are going to need the ride.
Right. Right. Dana's always studying ridership and where the ridership is, and so he's always tweaking the routes, and there's a big demand. We get a lot of people asking us to expand to Saturdays and do things of that nature. And hopefully sometimes in the future that will happen. But you know, like any other transportation system, it's subsidized, and it doesn't pay for itself. And I think sometimes people think that it does, but that I don't know of any transportation system, train or whatever, that pays for itself. So it's basically subsidized, and the more money we can get from the federal government and maybe some state monies, that could possibly happen.
I know at the beginning you were concerned, wondering, would people really use Rover?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been pleasantly surprised?
I am pleasantly surprised and glad that the ridership is the way it is. It's a great service.
I think we're running about 900 people a day, Bart, between 800 and 900 people a day on Rover, and it's reaching people that a lot of times don't have a way to get around.
Right.
I know of a gentleman that works at the VA, and he rides Rover to work and rides Rover home, and it's been a blessing for him because he couldn't drive.
Okay, let's go to the phones, 893-1450. You're on WGNS with Vice Mayor Ron Washington and City Councilman Doug Young. How are you this morning?
I'm close.
I'm glad to hear you're close.
How you all doing?
I'm doing great.
You know, Brother Washington, and to your guests there and anybody else that's listening, I've got a question to anybody who knows anything about the school system in the city and county. This is a problem I've got, and many of my church members are discussing this. Why is it every time we look around, these kids are banging at our doors trying to sell something for the schools? Now, we can't afford all these schools we're building every other week. We need to stop building them, and I think it's very dangerous to send kids around to people's houses this day and time. Have anybody ever mentioned that to you all?
I do hear about it. I hear about it, but really that's really an issue for the school board and those folks to kind of answer. But as long as I've known, Casey, I don't remember us doing it, but it's been going on for a long time. Kids selling magazines and all sorts of stuff to help fund supplies for schools. And I don't have an answer to that right there. But maybe.
Yeah, but you just make sure you tell my call whenever you run across some of them. And let me say one more thing. I got another minute, Bart.
Sure.
We moved here in 1960. I don't know how old my friend there is, but... And what's a funny thing, that this is a conversation that's coming up in Nashville a lot, and we're trying to figure out, as a race of people, get ready to get deep in there in Murfreesboro, so get ready. Some of y'all may want to run and get on the table. In 1960, when we moved here, do you remember Mr. Fred Malone, sir?
Yes, sir.
What did he do for Murfreesboro?
The Fred Malone that I knew of worked in Shelbyville.
Oh, no. the Fred Malone I'm talking about, owned a barber shop up there right around. You remember the Friendly Spot?
Yeah, oh yeah, Friendly Spot, sure.
It was owned by Mr. T90 Scales.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
That's all my time.
Okay,
these are youngsters up here.
just follow me for a minute. Because Mr. Fred Malone was a barber. He owned a barber shop right around the corner from down there with we used to call it the slide.
Yeah, up in Ming Slide.
Where I'm going with this is that, and I remember I had friends to tell me a place we called up on the inn. You remember where that is, sir?
It's from my time, Casey.
Before your time again. Okay, let me tell you what happened and what we don't seem to understand. Up on the inn was like, they had hotels, had restaurants, had all kind of businesses in that area right there. And what we're trying to figure out, seemed like we went backwards. Because, you know, a lot of times you tell folks to get an education and go out and get you a job. But how come don't nobody that look like me own nothing on Broad Street? Have you ever thought about that? Here this 012, and I'm telling about these people who owned stuff in 1960. What happened to us? Maybe somebody can call and discuss that with you all.
Are you talking about, of course, Broad Street, you go back several years. That was the bottoms.
It's still there now.
Right. And you're saying, what happened to the people who had the shacks in the bottoms? Why don't they still have land?
No.
You're not saying.
You misunderstood me totally.
Okay.
I'm saying, since the shacks left, Broad Street became a business district. Amen?
Okay.
So what I'm trying to say is, seem like all our businesses move here that come in and become great business people from overseas, but seem like Mr. Washington and I have been here all our life. But we don't. If you come here from out of town, you wouldn't think hardly nobody black lived here anymore. Do you understand where I'm going with this? 012 now.
I understand.
Do y'all hear me?
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, sir.
I understand. That is.
Makes sense.
That's a concern of mine, and that's one reason why we're hoping that some of this economic development will happen along Manny Avenue and try to bring some of that back. But, you know, that's a personal investment situation right there. And but I'm hoping that with the upgrade on Manny Avenue that maybe we can have some entrepreneurs come in and try to bring some of that back.
Bring somebody in here to do it. We don't have nobody here that can do it.
Have no clue.
Have a good day, sir.
You take care.
893-1450. If you have a question or a comment, your chance now, 893-1450. And the Manny Avenue development, the first phase of it, man, mm-hmm. It's going great. Looks good.
It is, and there's a particular project that we're working on that I really can't get into right now with a group of guys that we're hoping will come to fruition sometime in the next few years that will really be spectacular if it happens and be an anchor location for some services in that area. And, you know, you have to have – someone has to be interested in investing. But the city's made its step. We'll probably have to make a couple more to try to get folks interested in investing and bringing services, some type of services back to that particular community. And hopefully they'll look like me. But I don't care if they're blue. as long as the economic recovery and development happens in the older neighborhood. So really people, not just in the Manny Avenue area, but anywhere on the east side of town can go get there, have services provided to them without having to go all the way to the west side of town where most of the development obviously is occurring.
Very good. And so with this renovation of the Manny Avenue area, mm-hmm. You're already seeing a lot of interest in that area.
We're seeing some, and we just have to just be patient and do our due diligence and see what happens.
How much longer do you think now on the next phase, which is basically, I guess, from Main Street on down to Oakland's Mansion, how long will it take you to complete that?
You know, that's another Dana Richardson question right there. I'm going to guess 2-3 years because it's in the CIP plan to complete that that phase from College all the way to Oakland's Mansion. Hopefully, I'm thinking the most difficult end was the South End. because of the drainage problems and the deep ditch. You know, they had to dig, and people don't realize how difficult that project was, and trying to work within the existing right-of-way without having to disrupt a lot of those folks' homes and front yards. Many of them don't have much of a front yard on Manny Avenue, so try to stay away from that. This second phase with the little bit wider street and maybe better right-of-way access will go a little smoother.
Yeah, you redid a century-old mm-hmm. infrastructure there as far as mm-hmm. Sewage system, mm-hmm. water, mm-hmm. the electrical system, mm-hmm. and everything is underground, basically.
Well, the city, MED, has not removed the overhead power lines, but they're going to come down because right now, I believe, they are being fed by transformers that sit on the ground. I noticed the services were converted from overhead to underground, so they're energized and ready to go. It's just, I don't know where they are, but there's a matter of time for those poles to be gone.
Bart, you were so right. When you build a road, fix a road, you've got to move the water lines, the mm-hmm. gas lines, the electric. There were some almost 100-year-old drainage pipes in Manny Avenue. So then you had to dig uphill. There's a ditch under Broad Street, big enough to drive a car through, mm-hmm. and did not disrupt Broad Street at all. Now, there were some disruptions on Manny.
You mean you were actually
under Broad Street, because you got to take the water from the Vine Street corner, and you got to run it uphill, and then you take it down into the lake where your tower is down in there, and then it drains back out. So it was a huge project. It was an engineering nightmare, so to speak. But it went well, and it's finished. The northern half, as Ron alluded to, probably will take 2 to 3 years, and it will be so much easier than the one we just completed. And then you'll have, I like to call them the jewels of Murfreesboro. You'll have Bradley Academy at one end, and you'll have Oakland's Mansion in the other, with Main Street crossing in the middle. So you'll have some updated and modern transportation in the historic part of our city.
Now, the original large culvert, water drainage system, whatever you'd like to call it, under Broad, was built, I guess, in the 50s to reduce the flooding problem mm-hmm. that was a regular occurrence there in that area. But since we have obviously added more concrete surface, mm-hmm. there's no place for the water to go. The problem is again back with us. And so you've enlarged this. And what do you
now? There's several
like?
Of them now.
Several of them.
There's,
okay.
there's another one under Broad Street at Broad Street and Church, a huge one. And then if you'll ever, Bart, I want you to go down Vine Street and come to Vine and Manny.
Right.
And then turn back and look west. That's a pretty big little hill.
It is.
You really don't notice it until you look at it. Well, all that water is draining down on that corner. So mm-hmm. to get rid of it, you have to take it to a river or a holding area. Mm-hmm. So we had to take it up Manny Avenue, down across and under Broad Street.
Have you?
This is probably way too much information that you want to know. But.
Well, you know, whenever it rains heavily, you know that the water stands around.
Well, we've all seen Mr. Weatherly's gas station where it's knee deep in it.
Mm-hmm.
In Allen Chapel Church.
It's been in Allen's, the church. It's been in Delbridge's grocery store. And I don't know if it's gotten the commercial buildings across the street.
No, they don't seem to be affected. It's really right there at the gas station and going into the basement of Allen Chapel Church, which I used to attend. I know it didn't happen often, but I can remember it happened at least 2 or 3 times when I was there. And you just go and watch the water rise. And it happened when water would come down very fast and very hard for maybe 30 minutes, and it couldn't happen.
Now, over the past month, we've had some good tests mm-hmm. of the system. Mm-hmm. How did it do?
Okay, I think Vine and Manny did real well. I think some of the water was shifted to Main Street a little bit. Because I did see a report about that there was some flooding at that intersection. But here again, we had 4 inches of rain in a short period of time, and it's all running downhill to that corner. I think the engineers are fully aware of that. And it wasn't anywhere near as bad as it was. I think Weatherly's gas station was fine. The mm-hmm. church was protected. The residences on the left side and then the grocery store on the other side, I think they were fine. But there was some flooding at Main Street. There's always been some flooding at Main Street there and Highland also. But the next phase will move the water the north phase, move the water hopefully out of that area too. There's a little overlap right there at Main Street and College Street, even though they're fixed. There's still a little overlap there because the water congregates one place, it's got to go somewhere.
Now, there's some low areas on North Spring Street where, during heavy rain, the water gets deep in the roadway. Now,
Lytle Street in Spring especially, but some of this has to do with the culverts getting clogged up. People mm-hmm. dump their grass in the street and leaves get in, and you don't really know that they're clogged up until the water's not going through them. So I was so proud of Murfreesboro Street Department. About 2 years ago, that I saw one of their trucks going down Vine Street, and it pulled up in Weatherly's, and it's knee deep. And these two gentlemen get out with their shovels, and they go over there, and they're hunting around for that culvert, and they find that culvert, and they start digging that culvert, getting that debris out of it, and then you could see the water going right down in the culvert. The culvert was blocked, and it happens, and and it's just life. It happens.
Our phone number is 893-1450, and we're talking about some of the positive changes in the city of Murfreesboro. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back and continue the conversation. Murfreesboro Vice Mayor Ron Washington and City Councilman Doug Young with us this morning. Stay with us.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Morning News with Scott Walker. Weekday mornings, 6:30 to 7:50 on WGNS. AM, FM, online.
Over the years, I've gotten to know the folks over at Bell Furniture. Perry Bell and Linda Ferris treat you fairly. You save about half price at Bell Furniture. And Bell Furniture only offers American-made furniture. I believe in that, too. So if you're looking for a bedroom set, recliners, sofas, they have it all, half price every day, at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And it's American-made.
Are you 10 pounds overweight, 30, more? Those extra pounds are hurting the quality of your life, your relationships, and your health. Dynamic Medical Centers offers fast, effective, medically supervised weight loss programs. Patients routinely lose up to 30 pounds in their first 30 days, and our programs are easy to follow with no hunger, no surgery, and no trips to the gym. For a free weight loss consultation, call 455-0850, dynamicmedicalcenters.com.
Mainly cloudy skies for the forecast area, then gradually becoming sunny. A high in the upper 60s. We'll have a northwest wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently 57.
Technology can be confusing, but it's our passion.
You know, knew enough information to be dangerous myself, but just wanted an expert opinion, you know, somebody that knew that was really into the technology and up on all the terminology and that sort of thing.
The Tech Life, helping you buy, set up, and use technology. Online at thetechlife.net.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
If you need a bedroom set, come to Bell Furniture. Perhaps you're looking for a sleeper sofa, a recliner, or sectional sofa. They're half price at Bell Furniture. Beautiful leather recliners and lift chairs. First quality, name brand furniture, half price every day with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And it's all American made.
All Sports Talk with Bonnie Hill and Tim Tackett at 2, followed by Sports Night with George Plaster at 3. Weekdays on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. We're focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. Our number is 893-1450. And visiting with us this morning, Vice Mayor Ron Washington and City Councilman Doug Young. In the first part of the program, you heard Dr. Andy Brown from Middle Tennessee Medical Center. He had the good news that if you have had any of the steroid shots here in Murfreesboro or Rutherford County, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. There are only three locations in Tennessee that had those injections that are creating problems. So that's good news, and you heard about it right here. Let's continue the conversation. I understand that there is a rezoning that's going on in the Manny Avenue area. We're talking about all of the excitement with the Manny Avenue area. What will this rezoning hopefully accomplish?
Well, Bart, we are calling it the City Core Overlay. And let me give you a little quick history about our city and lots of cities around the country. What happens is these houses were built in the 20s and the 30s, and they had setbacks, and that's how far the house is off the street, really close to the street. Some were set back further. So we have a row of houses that have different setbacks, side setbacks, front setbacks. So then the city comes in 1984 and rezones the whole city to get conformity. But these houses are non-conforming uses. What that means is they don't meet our current setbacks. So in the meantime, you add to this the fact that Manny is a residential slash commercial area. There's been businesses in that area for 50 years. And some of these businesses were non-conforming because they were in a, quote, residential neighborhood. So what the city has done has studied this area, and all the way down to from Main Street all the way down to Middle Tennessee Boulevard and up into the Spring Street, Academy Street area. It's not just Manny Avenue. To bring this up to reality or to modern codes. Now, what this does, this protects some homeowners. You know, so the city's always accused of beating up the homeowners. But this, in this case, if you have a non-conforming use and a non-conforming house and you had a fire, you couldn't build it back. And that's not right. So the city has looked at this whole area, and they've determined that there is mixed use. Mixed use is being commercial. Mixed use is being residential. And we're bringing the code, the ordinance is the law, to where the neighbors can build back if there's a fire. They can use the area as a commercial. And what you really want in an area, it doesn't have to be downtown, is mixed use. You want the ability for a neighbor to walk to get a haircut, to walk to the beauty shop, to walk to get their nails done, to walk to a grocery store, to walk to Allen's Chapel. There's several churches in that area. And this is just good long-term planning. So the city has stopped, called time out, so to speak, and looked at its ordinances and said, you know, we've got a situation where some people could get hurt with they've done anything if a disaster strikes. So you took that thinking and you modernized your ordinances and your setbacks and your use. Then you took the Manny Avenue drainage project and you put those together, and we've made the Manny Avenue much more user-friendly for commercial and residential. We solved some drainage problems that we've done, and now we're in the process of finishing up the City Core Overlay District. I don't think that it could hurt anybody.
I would imagine this also eased some insurance problems that homeowners probably had.
Well, you know, if you can't build a house back because of the law, how are you going to
get insured?
That's exactly right. So this can be a little complicated, and I've had lots of questions about it, and people say, well, am I going to have a business next to my house? And there's ways that you can do that and ways that you can't do that. But this is giving relief to the neighbors in an old core area of the city. And this is not just Murfreesboro. This is all over the country because the neighborhoods move. They get really good. They decline. They get really good. Your new laws and updates, fire codes and things like that all come into play. So I think this is a positive step for the city, and I really think it's a futuristic step. We've looked at a problem, and we said, we don't know exactly how to solve it. Let's study it. Let's get input from the citizens. Let's hear what they think, and then we're trying to take a positive action on it. And
well, I remember a while back the city codes changed where some of the older homes in this area that we're talking about had maybe three apartments in them, mm-hmm. and if those burned, they would have to build back as a single family home. Has that changed?
No, but what happens is it's called a non-conforming use. That house that's divided into three apartments is a non-conforming use. It's grandfathered in. As long as there's no damage to that house, they can continue using it as an apartment or as a rental unit. But if it burns, and it burns more than 75%, you have to build it back to codes, which in most cases would be financially not feasible to do because you'd have to rewire the whole house. It's going to have to meet all the windows and the court ordinances. And I know about this personally because I had a fire. and my house was a non-conforming use. And it was also a non-conforming structure because the front setback is 20 feet, but the ordinance says 30 feet. So I'm in a situation where...
Did you have 30 feet if you wanted to?
I'd have to move the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens, and it's happened to me. I'm kind of the poster boy for all this that can happen before it ever, hopefully it happens to everybody else.
Well, some of the existing zoning that we have now, see, Bart, those residents right now couldn't meet any of them. You know, if you want to do some commercial or had the look to put two lots together because those lots are so small. To meet the landscaping, parking requirements, and all that kind of stuff, impossible. So this particular project that Doug is talking about, and we've had two public hearings. The first public hearing was last October. And we had one recently over at Patterson Center to get that public input, bring them back up to speed. Okay, here we are, and there'll be some tweaking to the plan probably. I recommend removing some residents mm-hmm. from the plan that don't want to be in it, don't really understand it, maybe, as they should. But if they don't want to be in it, fine, you know, because this really is focusing on a particular area of town, and there are other areas of town that's probably just like it. And this project right here will serve as a model to be used in other areas that may fit that need and give some relief for investment opportunities in this particular area.
Also, if you look at the commercial side of it, if you look at Main Street where First Baptist Church is, it covers a block. It's a non-conforming use because the building's too close to the street.
The church is.
The church is. And here's a real good one.
Your business is not.
My business is one also, but the Murfreesboro headquarters of the fire department business is not compliant. The building is not compliant with the 1984 law. So we're going to rezone that to Central Business District, and that will bring the churches. You got East Main Church of Christ and you got First Baptist, two big churches right there on the corner. The old Beatty's building all the way around there. That will make that compliant. Setbacks are the big problem. You build a church will build a building to the sidewalk, and the sidewalk is to the street. So if you've got a 20-foot setback, that's not going to work. But now all these were grandfathered in years ago, so they're not illegal. It's just the old law versus modernizing the law. So the ordinance, and the ordinance is a law. So when we move these from Commercial Highway to Central Business District, that will solve that problem.
So the city's created some laws to keep it from shooting itself in the foot.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And these laws that where we shoot ourselves in the foot were implemented in 1984, and then everybody before that was grandfathered in, so they're legal.
Now, is this all approved now?
No, it's not. The Planning Commission had its first public hearing last week. And we deferred it to tweak out some things. And as Ron said, there's some areas coming in and coming out because people don't, not coming in, but coming out because people don't want them. And it's not necessarily imperative for that particular spot.
Right.
So what we'll do is we'll, the Planning Commission will study it. They'll make a recommendation, pass it on to the City Council. The City Council will have a public hearing, and then hopefully we'll get this done by the first of the year.
We'll be following that closely on WGNS Murfreesboro.